You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Successful entrepreneurs on how their purpose has led to an impactful personal brand. I am so excited that you have joined me today. I'm your host, Shantha Wetterhahn. Today's show is sponsored by Up to Me Magazine. You can find this self-empowered magazine at uptomemagazine.com. Today on the show, I am very excited to have Rachel Davis with us. Rachel is a master confidence coach. Rachel specializes in cultivating the confidence that women need in order to achieve their desired life, both personally and financially. As a Fortune 500 executive in a male-dominated industry, Rachel spent more than 20 years of her adult working career in the trenches of corporate America. No, we've all done that. Her experience provided her with invaluable perspectives that enables her to be an effective leader, thoughtful communicator, coach, mentor, and a champion for women who are seeking to fulfill their purpose with confidence. Her coaching and training strategies give you the tools you'll need to send your confidence levels to new heights, thus creating radical change in your ability to make an impact, effortlessly build connections, manifest your confidence, self, all while falling in love with the person you'll become. So, Rachel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, now I saw something that you and your husband recently came back from the islands. Can you tell us all about that so we can get jealous?
Wow, absolutely. So my husband and I had the opportunity to get away for a week. And for us, being the entrepreneurs that we are, managing the businesses that we do, sometimes it's very difficult for you to make the time that you need to get away. And to St. Thomas, we went to, which is U.S. Virgin Islands, we went to British Virgin Islands, Tortola, Bahamas. So we had an amazing time on a beautiful cruise ship, navigating the Caribbean and providing us with an opportunity to disconnect, which was very important, so that
right,
we could reconnect
right.
to each other, so that we can come back renewed and recharged. So we had an amazing time. And I have to tell you, the timing of our vacation was 1 week before Hurricane Irma hit the Caribbean.
Oh, wow.
And yes. So we waited a week later. We probably wouldn't have been able to have a vacation. But nonetheless, I'm eternally grateful for the opportunity to enjoy those beautiful islands prior to the devastation that took place. But yes, we had a great
Absolutely.
Time. And I
Absolutely.
Highly recommend.
What a wonderful experience. Yeah,
Absolutely.
So you definitely recommend the islands, huh?
I do.
Yeah, so
I
one
do.
Of the things.
I do.
one of the things that experience, of course, you know, we all need to unplug and have a vacation. We all know that. But your experience really inspired me, because I was thinking, you know, what if you decided, you know what, sweetie, let's knock the vacation off. Let's not go. Mm-hmm. We have all this other stuff. Life gets busy. Mm-hmm. You know, really, it really inspired me to remember that we need to take action. We need to do the things mm-hmm. that we set out to do. And I really equate this not just in work, but also in play. If there's something you want to do that you're inspired to do, do it. You know, make it a point that you are achieving this goal, because we only get this one life, and life is so short, and time Absolutely. Is precious and valuable. We need to be doing things that on purpose that really matter. And one of the things that matters to me is confidence. I am just, you know, I naturally have confidence. People a lot of times look at me and go, where does your confidence come from? But I know there are things that people can do if you don't naturally have that gift of confidence, or naturally know how to walk in a room and really have opportunities open because of your confidence. There are some things that you can do to improve your confidence. And Rachel, I wanted to have you on to talk about that. I, you know, first want to talk about women. Why, you know, what's your mission? I know you work with women. Why have you decided to sort of focus on women? And why is the idea of confidence in women is such a difficult thing to connect the two together?
Sure. Women, being in the corporate environment for as long as I've been within corporate America, and having an opportunity to sit back and observe how women are treated within the corporate sector and how women are perceived in the corporate sector, and also how women don't necessarily are misunderstood, misrepresented within the corporate sector, as well as how the misrepresentation or the misunderstanding of who they are as women oftentimes affects them to the point where they become deflated, and they start to acquire a feeling of inadequacy, and watching that parlay within women that I've had an opportunity to observe, and even have been in situations where I felt deflated. I felt that I had an inability to reach my higher self, to reach my best self, simply because I was so consumed with what other people thought about me in terms of their perception that I lost the essence of who I was. I lost my self-awareness, my self-confidence, my self-assuredness, especially when you've been shot down over and over and over again, time and time and time again, whether it's that promotion that you're looking for, whether someone else steals your ideas and run with them, or whether you did the work and somebody else took the credit for it. I've watched that happen over an extended period of time, and I saw how the lack of being able to stand for yourself or be self-assured and aware of your personal power that has caused a lot of women to deflate. And not just within the corporate sector, even in terms of watching women grow and build their business as entrepreneurs, one of the things that I've noticed about our fellow sisters is that they don't always charge with their worth, and there's always an element of fear in terms of moving forward with their goals or their dreams that they desire. There's an element of fear or hesitation that doesn't allow women to naturally step into the position of strength and power that they desire to step in. And
Absolutely.
A lot of that goes back to confidence. And when you really understand what makes an individual confident, it really boils down to understanding and owning your personal power, cultivating a rich sense of self-worth and self-esteem. Understand that arrows will be thrown at you regardless, but to move forward in pursuit of your desires anyway. There's an element
Absolutely.
Of charm, an element of charisma, an element of confidence that men seem to have mastered and women have not, because that energy
Absolutely.
Has always been misconstrued or downplayed as being something that is not professional in nature. We can't necessarily be who we are innately, and so that's been downplayed by society. It's been downplayed by movies and televisions and all of the images that we're being bombarded with on an ongoing basis, where we feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm. So what does confidence really look like? If you look at someone, there's a mm-hmm. fine line between appearing arrogant and appearing mm-hmm. having the appearance of or the perception of being self-confident. So how can mm-hmm. you, in terms of confidence, what does that look like for a person? How would you know a confident person?
Excellent question. So the difference between someone who's confident and someone who's arrogant, it's one distinct difference. A person who's confident has an energy about them that radiates love. A person who's arrogant has an energy about them that radiates selfishness. People who are confident have no problem loving on each other. Most of the individuals who I've studied that are confident have an innate ability to draw people to them. They pull people to them. They have a magnetism. They have an energy around them that when they walk into a room, individuals are interested in knowing who that person is, because fundamentally their essence comes from a place of love. Versus arrogance, when a person walks into a room, their energy doesn't necessarily come from a place of love. It comes from a place of selfishness. It comes from a place of wanting, what is it that I can get versus what is it that I can give? And that's the fundamental difference, I would say, in terms of how you come across as being confident versus being arrogant. And that's the part that people misunderstand.
That's profound. What you said there, that is absolutely mm-hmm. profound, because a lot of times you can't put your finger on the difference, but people certainly recognize the difference. And, you know, if mm-hmm. there's arrogant people that I come into contact with in my life, I don't feel good. I feel like my energy is okay. being sucked dry, and I want to retreat from this person. However,
exactly.
when I'm around other women who are confident or other men who are confident, mm-hmm. it gives something to me. It actually empowers and inspires me, and it tells me it's okay to be my authentic self. So that was really profound what you said, the difference between confidence is love and selfishness. And I think
right.
you're absolutely correct. Can we talk about body language a little bit? Give us some
sure.
tips. Like, you know, how does body language really convey confidence? And what are mm-hmm. some things that we can do where we're mindful and we're conveying confidence in just the way we carry and how poised we are and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. So body image and body confidence is something that you work on the inside so that it can manifest itself on the outside. So many of us, we talk about body language and posture and knowing how to carry yourself. That's all well and good. But if you still feel internally, if you still see yourself mentally as somebody who is weak, as somebody who's deflated, as someone who lacks self-esteem, as someone who lacks self-confidence, when you try to perpetuate the body language of someone who's confident, people can sense that you're not being authentic. And so prior to us mm-hmm. tackling what people see on the outside, we've got to tackle what you say to yourself on the inside. You've got to tackle how you truly see yourself. You've got to take inventory as to whether or not you say disempowering words to yourself. What is it that you're saying to yourself every day? Do you truly love yourself? When you stand in the mirror after you take a shower and you look at your naked body from head to toe, do you love what you see? Are you willing to embrace your imperfections? Are you willing to love yourself regardless of what society says, regardless of how you're supposed to look? Do you look at yourself every day and you affirm to yourself that you're a winner, that you're a champion, that you're deserving of love, that you're confident, that you have the ability to achieve greatness, that everything and anything that you want will come to you effortlessly, that you have the power to impact and change lives, that you have the power to live your life to the fullest, that you're well aware of what your purpose is and you're no longer afraid to walk in it. It's the words that are being said to yourself. It's literally your body image in terms of how you physically convey confidence has everything to do with the 6 inches in between your two ears and how you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when folks
yeah.
ask me about body language, we touch on body language phase two. But before I can get you to carry your body in a manner that exudes confidence, I have to mentally work with you to get a lot of the destructive thoughts, the destructive conditioning, the destructive programming that you've been bombarded with since the day you were born that shaped who you are and that shaped your lack of self-confidence. We have to tackle that first. And then once we tackle that first, your body language and your posture, it naturally comes into play. When you feel wonderful about yourself, you don't have a problem holding your head high, holding your back straight. I tell women all the time, you don't walk into a room, you enter a room. That's a very big difference. But you've got to feel as though you're the person that you desire to be. You see yourself in love and light. And so that way entering a room doesn't become difficult because you radiate what it is that you see within yourself.
I love this. Absolutely. And so once you hone all these things together and you begin mm-hmm. to work on your body language and your confidence, how can this, you know, for our entrepreneurs, small business owners, medium, large business owners, everybody can really mm-hmm. use this information. How can you then take everything and implement it into, you know, bettering your personal brand? And you know, once you've mm-hmm. done so, how can all this stuff impact opportunities, impact success on the business level or corporate level?
Absolutely. So when you talk about your personal brand and confidence, they go hand in hand. You as an individual who is your brand, translates why people want to do business with you. It translates, it's a method of communicating. It's a subliminal communication mechanism that will inevitably allow a person to decide or to determine if they want to work with you, if they want to do business with you, if they want you to coach them, if they want to engage in a partnership with you. That certainly is a mechanism by which your brand should stand upon your confidence in who you are, confidence in what is it that you do, confidence in what it is that you have to give the world, confidence in knowing that you're able and that you're capable, confidence in knowing that you're enough. And your brand will resonate that. You are your brand. So whether your brand has to do with marketing material, whether your branding has to do with podcasts, Facebook Lives, everything about you will come across and will be conveyed clearly to folks that are looking to do business with you simply because of your confidence, your air, your energy, your persona, the charm, the character, the charisma, everything that comes along with that. And there's a reason why a person will be drawn to one person versus the other. And there is an element of magnetism there. It's like two magnets. It's the energy that the magnet gives off that causes the attraction to take place. And so understanding the energy that she gives off and knowing that it can be felt is hugely important when building your brand. If you're saying that you can do all of these wonderful things for individuals on paper, when they're in your presence, they have to organically feel that what you say on paper is true. So if your brand is all about becoming a beauty or an image consultant, everything about you has got to be congruent with that. So you've got to be all things beauty and image consulting. So every time you're out in public, whether it's in your pictures, whether you're online, you've got to come across as being that individual. So you've got to be on point all the time. And somebody who, if you're not congruent with that, it becomes work. It becomes a task. It becomes arduous. And so your brand really should be honest and truthful, and it should translate to who you are in real life. And when you're confident in who you are, and you know who you are, and you're completely congruent in the space that you're telling people you are, then it becomes effortless.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to chat with you the last few minutes here about relationships. I know that you are an expert in relationships, and not just with these business relationships. You know, I strongly believe what goes on in your household really affects your success on the outside. My husband, I have a little story about my husband. I've been married about 12 years, and my husband, he makes my coffee every single morning, and for about a week, I detest decaf because I figure, you know, what's the point? You know, there's no point in drinking it if I'm not going to get a rush out of the coffee. And he actually was making, decaf coffee for me and not telling me for a whole week because we were out of the regular. And when he finally told me, I was really irritated and annoyed with him for a whole day. And that irritation and annoyance and letdown and disappointment over that decaf coffee, when I left the house, it affected all of my relationships, all of the interaction. It affected how I treated the sales associate behind the desk at the store. It affected how I interacted with clients. I was just irritated, annoyed, and ill about that. And I got over it. I mean, this was months ago. By now, I think I'm over it. I still don't trust him with the coffee. I say that to say, you know, whatever happens in our household, the dynamics of the relationships in our household, that impacts everything. That, you know, we experience a lot of fear, you know, going back to confidence. And I think all of that stuff is wrapped up into the relationships and what's going on with the relationships first in our household and our relationship with God. So I wanted to talk with you about that. What are your thoughts on that? And you know, how can we better those relationships in order to be our more true self so that we can live in our purpose?
Wow, that's a very loaded question. So let's tackle the coffee first.
Let's unpack it. As you can see, I still have some emotional attachment to this experience. So.
I see. Well, your husband, you know, so there are certain roles that a male in the relationship plays versus the female in the relationship plays. So the man's primary purpose is to provide and protect. So as far as your husband providing you with the decaf coffee, in his mind, he was acting in the role by which he has been genetically coded, hardwired to function in, and that's to provide you with what you need. And he omitted the fact that it was decaf as a way to protect you from knowing that it's what you desire.
Now he needs protection.
So that's a great story. But I actually commend your husband because you have a lot of men that would not make you coffee, because they know you don't like decaf, and since there's no regular coffee in the house, they'll just stop doing the activity altogether versus him finding a way to please you nonetheless. And so your husband did a great thing by still putting your needs first, still by serving you in the capacity by which you desire to be served. It may not be 100%. In the way that it is that you like. So, okay, fine, it's decaf. It's not really caffeinated coffee. But he still understood his role in your life. He understood how important that coffee is to you every morning. He understood how the experience of having that coffee to start your day is critical to you having the day that it is that you desire to have. Despite the fact that the coffee wasn't decaf, he still maintained his responsibility in your life to still provide you with what you needed to start your day. So the difference, the question that we need to ask ourselves is how we perceive the action that was provided. And so it's all in how you look at things. You could look at it and say, how could you not tell me the coffee wasn't caffeinated? And that decision threw your whole day off, it affected how you treated other people versus taking inventory and saying, you know what, although it wasn't caffeinated coffee, at least he still took care of his responsibility or took care of what my needs were in providing me the coffee nonetheless. So kudos
Absolutely.
To your husband for that. Kudos to him for that. Great man. Great man.
I'll tell him that.
Absolutely. There are instances in relationships where the toxicity that occurs between a man and a woman does bleed into their everyday life. It affects how they treat other people. It affects how they interact with other people. It affects their productivity. It affects their lack of focus. It affects how they treat their children. It affects how they treat themselves. And that's a loaded question that has many layers that will take us days to discuss and to decode. But what
we definitely want you back, so we can have a series, and you know, I know the guests are, they will send an email and let me know if this is a topic that we can go into and have a series conversation, because everything you're talking about has layers that we need to pull back and dissect.
Right, it does. And I would love the opportunity to come back and to share and to dissect a couple of those layers. But in essence, our home life does dictate our business life, our personal life, our professional life. Even our home life affects how our spiritual life is managed. And so that's a loaded question, but what I can say is that there are roles and responsibilities that both the man and the woman play in a relationship. And there are fundamental aspects of the relationship. There are principles that govern the relationship. There are values that govern the relationship that the man and the woman need to sit down very early on in their relationship, identify what those values are, identify what those principles are, and build their foundation upon it. Now, let's take a corporation, for instance. Every company, every corporation has a mission statement. And if you look at your marriage as a partnership, your marriage, your relationship should have a mission statement as well. And it is
yes,
upon that
that's
mission
something
statement
that we did. Absolutely. I totally
Wonderful.
Agree. That's something that we
Wonderful.
Made sure that we had actually a family. Mm-hmm. What is our role in this world?
Exactly.
You know, our role is, you know, what do we lead with? What's most important? What are priorities? What will we always be known for as a family? So yes, that is
exactly.
absolutely great. Great advice. And it's really been wonderful to be able to, you know, hold our children to that too.
Absolutely. And based on those values, we'll determine your financial house, will determine how you parent your children, will determine how you worship together, will determine how you spend together, will determine how you save together. It's the principles by which you decide on building this union upon, building this family upon, building this legacy upon, that will help determine how you interact in your everyday world. And so knowing that your husband needs you to have this coffee so that you can uphold your end of the values and principles that you both decide is necessary for your family life. So you need to have your coffee in order to get your day started, in order for you to be your best self. He's providing you with what you need to help you meet the principles, to help you to meet the goals and the values that you've established in your marriage. So your responsibility, his responsibility, is to provide each other with what's needed in order to function, to ensure that the values and the principles that the marriage is built upon executes and delivers upon the goals that you all desire. And that's intimately, that's physically, obviously sexually, that's emotionally, that's spiritually, that's financially. It's everything. It's everything.
Absolutely.
And so lots
yes.
more to talk well, about on this subject, but
please.
Definitely
yes.
I think a great
so
starting point to
here.
Answer your question.
This is such a rich topic, and I knew that, you know, having you on the podcast, we were going to get some amazing insight from you, Rachel. This was absolutely wonderful. I thank you so much for being here, and I am absolutely confident that our listeners will be able to take your confidence needed. Really focus on their body language and work on those relationships in order to live in your true purpose, to have that life that you desire. And not just that you desire, but that life that God wants for you, that life to live more abundantly as he's called each and every one of us to do. So thank you so much for being here, Rachel. I really appreciate it. And can you just give us real quick three real quick nuggets to take away that our people here listening can implement right now into their lives?
Absolutely. So first nugget in terms of confidence, it's all about self-affirmation. Start whispering sweet nothings to yourself. That's what I tell people all the time. Start to compliment yourself. Seriously, tell yourself how beautiful you are. Tell yourself how wonderful you are, how magnetic you are, how wealthy you are, how healthy you are. Start to rewire your subconscious mind. Start to plant new thoughts, plant new things, plant new ideas, plant new concepts. You reap what you sow. Start to sow some positivity into yourself so that you can manifest that on the outside. So that's nugget number one. Nugget number two in terms of confidence, I honestly believe posture is important. So a couple of key tips when you're conducting business, back straight, head up high. One of the ways I teach people to keep their back straight is imagine you're a puppet and someone is pulling a string from the bottom of your neck up. So imagine act as though somebody's pulling a string that goes all the way down to the base of your back and it goes all the way up to the bottom of your neck. Pull that string up. How does your posture change? Automatically, your shoulders go back, your chest goes up, your head is high. You know, your physiology changes completely. And so posture is important. Eye contact is important. Smiling is important. Energy is important. The way your appearance is, all of that is important. And the other thing that I would definitely love to share about confidence is prior to you engaging, whether it's a networking meeting, whether it's a presentation, whether you're going to be in front of a room of people, you want to get into your peak and your most optimal state. So move your body around. Shake yourself up a little bit. If you ever notice some of the great speakers like Tony Robbins, he's done a behind-the-scenes documentary. Before he goes on stage, he jumps up and down on a trampoline. Get your body going. Get your body moving. So that way you'll be at the peak performance and the peak optimal state in order for you to be able to function. And as a bonus, as far as relationships are concerned, identify the values. Identify the principles. Start to really identify by the principles by which you'll govern your relationship. And everything that you do from a relationship perspective, financial perspective, family, children, ring perspective, spirituality, your faith, everything rises and falls on the values and principles by which you govern your relationship. So,
absolutely. Well, I love this. Yes. Just a few little nuggets, right? That was amazing. You are absolutely a breath of fresh air in such a noisy, noisy world. And you don't hear many people giving tips on just how to have more confidence. Just something as simple as imagining yourself like a puppet. As soon as you said that, my back just went straight up. So those things really count. They really matter. People feed off of your energy. So again, thank you so much for being on the show. And I can't wait to have you back so we can unpack some more stuff and really get deep into more of confidence and relationships and really be able to implement this stuff and grow and be a success on purpose.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Now, to our listeners, I really want to hear from you. What do you think? What do you think about what Rachel had to say? Are you living out your most confident life? If you have any questions about this segment, just go ahead and email us at brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. You can email us questions, insight, or maybe your experience with confidence right there to that email address. And as well, if you really want Rachel back and you have something specific that you want her to talk about, email us again at brandingwithpurposepodcast.com. I want to let you know about a question that I get all of the time. All of the time I get this one question. Shanta, what social media platforms are right for my business? There are so many out there, and I feel like I am just all over the place. So my answer is always yes. social media is very important. It's one spoke in your entire marketing wheelhouse. It's actually not the only marketing that you will do for your business. Traditional marketing, face-to-face marketing, those things are still very, very important. However, when it comes to social media, the first thing you want to ask yourself is, where is my audience? This question really will help you determine where you're going to be, because you really want to be where your audience is. The Next Web reported that anywhere between 67.65 and 137.76 million Facebook accounts are fake. Simply having a bunch of followers, who really aren't going to be of value to you and your business, and just to be on a platform because everyone else is on a platform, is not going to grow your business. You really want to be where your target market is. If your target markets are millennials or younger, you need to be on Instagram. You need to be on Snapchat. It's imperative to be on these platforms. If you have a target market of professionals and you're looking to interact and engage with decision makers, LinkedIn is going to be your friend. So you really want to be where your target market is. Today, there are 1.15 billion active users on Facebook. There are 359 million people using Google Plus every day. 150 million people monthly are using Instagram. So the numbers are there. There is a world of opportunity if you're looking to grow your business online with social media. You just have to figure out where your target market is. Who is your target market and where are they all day? And how can you craft, engage, and get them talking, get them really excited about your brand and what you have to offer. So this and any other questions that you might have, again, email me at brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com, and I will be sure to include you in this segment of Ask Shantha. And don't forget to check us out at uptomeradio.com, and you can connect with me at competitivebrand.com. I wanted to let you know that our next show, we will actually be talking with sales and lead generating expert, internationally known author of the book, The LinkedIn Sales Playbook. Her book is a tactical guide to social selling and managing social selling, and she is the managing partner of Ingresso. Her name is Bryn Tillman. I'm very excited. You guys are going to learn how to grow your leads, grow your sales, grow your personal brand with LinkedIn, and how to make all those connections work for you, how to build a valuable network that's actually going to make you more money, and also a network that you can serve as well too. So again, I'm so excited that you were here with me today. It means so much. You could have been absolutely anywhere else in this whole entire world, but guess what? You chose to spend your time with me, and that makes me so happy. You are doing the right thing. You're focusing on your brand and your purpose, and I truly appreciate that you are deciding to do that with me today. Thank you so much, and I look forward to you tuning in next week where we talk with Bryn Tillman. Have a great rest of the week. Thank you.